Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Dip, 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 da, dip, da, 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 dip, da, 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 dip, dip, da, dip, da, 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 dip, dip, da, dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, da, dip, da, dip, da, da, hey. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
And I'm Peter Thomas.
Hello, Peter Thomas.
Hello, Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
Such a pleasure to have you here. For those for listeners who don't remember Peter from an episode a long time ago.
Yes. You will know him from the logo.
From the new logo of the Two in the Think Tank, rather than the old logo, which was from a logo app.
And the new logo is my face, presumably? No.
That logo app lost its job to a human. Which is really, really hard for information technology.
Absolutely. It's really hard for free apps, you know, these days. You know what, Pete, for anybody who's trying to visualize what Pete looks like, he's pretty much a mixture of me and Andy.
Yeah. Somewhere in between.
It's a really good...
Minus glasses.
It's a part in The Fly, in between where he's Brundle and then he's the fly at the end. So when he's sort of transforming slowly.
So before the face kind of comes off.
Before the face comes off, but maybe after the ear falls off and the fingernails all get pulled out.
So just to be clear, Pete doesn't have an ear or fingernails.
No.
And he's got a lot of slime and he's sort of, just like licking raw meat or something like that?
A melting Jeff Goldblum.
And you're sort of grabbing poles and swinging around and around?
Yeah, and breaking people's arms in bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is there a sketch in that? What about, it's like The Fly, but it's a guy who's turning into a fly who's turning into a real jerk. No.
Maybe it's the other way around. So we have
a fly who's invented a teleportation machine.
And accidentally gets trapped in there with
Jeff
someone.
Goldblum. Goldblum buzzes in. Doing his high energy acting style. He's got a kind of a high energy relaxation about him, don't you think? Is that kind of Jeff Goldblum's status?
Very zen. Nothing's sort of connected in a normal way. He sort of darts from one bit to another.
Yeah, he conceptually, but also tonally in his voice. Like it doesn't follow the normal patterns of a voice. It almost goes up and down like the buzzing of a fly. And what I'm suggesting is that Jeff Goldblum actually is turning into a fly.
Like slowly, really slowly?
Really slowly, yeah. And starting with the changes in tone of his voice.
Right. So that movie came out in maybe, I don't know, sometime in the 1980s, 1984 perhaps.
Yeah.
So over the last 30 years he's been transforming.
Yeah, don't worry. He's definitely going to die before anything visible happens.
Is there a chance that maybe what went into the transformation chamber, the teleportation thing or whatever, when he went in there, is not a fly, but just the sound of a fly.
The echoes.
Yeah. And so when the machine interpreted, it interpreted the motion of the molecules in there.
And rewrote his DNA to match the buzzing of a fly.
Yeah. Mm. Which is why he kind of talks like this, walking down. As he gets closer to death, he will eventually remove all enunciation and things like that. And then, especially, I think once he's mimicking a fly trapped on a window, that's the end point for him.
Well, interestingly, a telephone is really a teleportation device for the voice, isn't it?
That's true.
Right? Just teleports your voice. So
it's in the name, tele.
And port.
And phone.
Phone,
which is audio. It's teleporting your audio.
Audio, yeah.
But it's also like it's a cloning device because you're still making noise with your mouth.
Where you are.
And the noise is coming out of the other end. So you've been doubled.
You've been doubled, but then they have to kill the original. Is that right?
Yeah, by the time you get to the other side, end then there'll the be two call. Use.
Which is why you always lose your voice when you use the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Exactly. At least I do, because I yell a lot through the phone to
which
people who owe me money.
About the fact that I'm having my voice stolen.
Piece by piece.
To the phone company. Give me back my voice!
So, in conclusion.
So, the sketch.
what?
It's okay. Have we settled on a sketch?
I mean,
it feels awful to walk away from this with nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, I feel like it's like the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get something out of it. Even if it's only one good song. You know,
if you're remaking some movies, why not?
This is the last helicopter out of Saigon, is it?
This is it. Yeah. This is the movie Good Morning Vietnam with
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, with the way he was speaking, I'm surprised he didn't lose his voice.
That's it.
In that movie.
Oh, but if the way that he's talking is his voice gets multiplied thousands of times. So there's his voice just coming out at,
that's
like,
true.
If you were sitting next to him, and then across on the radio everywhere across Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So there would be millions or thousands of that you'd have to kill.
They say, though.
Like John Connors?
Yes.
They say that the first casualty of war is truth.
Yeah.
But I don't think – I think the first casualty of war is probably Robin Williams' vocal cords.
At least in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Was that the first one, though? I mean, it was probably like the 74th.
I think there might have been a couple beforehand.
I can't remember the film, but I don't know is he there in Vietnam hosting a radio show before the war starts?
Haven't seen it.
No. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
I think
either.
I've seen the poster and inferred a lot.
I walked into the living room when my housemate was watching and I went, oh, that guy, that's a lot of energy.
I think that you should start a blog, which is reviews of movies that I've walked into the living room while my housemate is watching.
Yeah.
And you just give them a rating out of 5 stars.
Based on what you think. You kind of the gist.
I feel like it was part of like the package that would play at the start of a VHS tape. Like these are all the fantastic films that are coming out. So like Good Morning Vietnam has the famous line that he says.
Yeah.
Hello, Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then...
How you doing, Taiwan?
Yeah. And that was the sort of cut into all these other films and sort of mushed together.
That's true, yeah. Do you think it was part of the Criterion collection?
Yeah, it could be.
Do you think that, like, maybe the movie doesn't actually exist, right? I reckon there was probably a time in sort of early Hollywood, I'm thinking like the 80s, maybe early 90s.
Maybe late 70s.
Yeah, when they hadn't made a lot of movies, but they wanted to create the impression that that movies were a real big deal.
It's hard for a film startup.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I reckon a lot of those trailers for movies that we've seen at the start of films, those films never actually existed. They were just trailers that were made to create the impression that there were lots and lots of films.
So these are like pitch movies.
Yeah. But really just sort of like a kind of vibe, like you'd hire someone to just sort of hang out in a bar looking like they're having a good time. You know when you see one person in a bar and they really look like they're having a good time? And you're like, I want to go into that bar where that lone gentleman is.
This is a great bar!
Oh, I'm all out of jukebox money. I think if you saw just a clip from a movie. It's this lone guy standing next in a bar. Jukebox. He yells, "I'm out of jukebox money."
Yeah.
That's you want to know what's going to happen next.
Definitely. Yeah. And more than that, it makes me just want to watch films because they look like fun.
They are fun.
Yeah.
So, I wonder what's going to happen next. It's the start of like a whole universe of fun.
Like I've never run out of money entirely.
Yeah.
Or put money in a jukebox.
Had an allocation of money exclusively for jukeboxes.
I mean, I've got lots of money.
Sure, I budget. I'm like anybody. I got a certain amount for lunches.
Gas bills.
Gas bills. Diapers, you know, they cost. They add up, right? But then
I've also got all this money on me right now.
I've
run miscellaneous. Out of jukebox money.
It's the
but
jukebox
you see, wait, this is what's crazy. The B-52s say bring your jukebox money,
yes.
Right? Now, it must be a valid form of money.
It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, if some of these people are demanding it. I mean, the B-52s didn't mention a lot of the forms of money that I consider to be valid. Sandwich money.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, the euro.
Japanese
yen.
Well, I mean, I recognize, obviously, stamps as legal tender.
I'm going to make a movie called Legally Tender.
Yeah.
Don't ask me any follow-up questions.
But that could be one of the movies that's part of this.
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying. I want to do a mini documentary, a sketch that is a mini documentary about the production studios that were hired to make the trailers for a lot of films mm-hmm. that were never actually made, right? And then we can see little clips from them. Maybe we can claim that some supposedly big movies were actually just trailers and people have never actually seen the film. People think they have because they, you know, we put a lot of detail into the trailers and also we've filled out summaries, plot summaries on
and
Wikipedia.
And really relatable phrases like
exactly.
Bring your jukebox.
I'm all out of jukebox money.
Yeah,
and then exactly.
It cuts to the next one.
Why is there a song playing? How is he? I mean,
well, that's the magic of film. Like, we can hear it, but he can't.
Oh yeah, And he just goes, "I love rock and roll." I think that's you know. But
put
he
another giant dime in the jukebox, baby.
Yeah,
which I can't because I spend all of my jukebox money. Yeah.
He doesn't get to hear that song, though.
No, did he spend just... it on the jukebox or jukebox? Jukebox. Yeah, jukebox. That's the money that you put in a jukebox.
Jukebox. Oh, I can't believe that's not a cryptocurrency.
So, but where has he gotten rid of all this money? What did he spend it on?
Look, Pete. Obviously, this is already a 10-part, like a 10-part movie franchise that we can sell today.
And boy, just the fact that you're asking these questions is telling me how much there is in this. Okay,
people want to know.
I mean, I at first I thought maybe that was too intense a scene to open the movie with.
But now I'm saying that's the only way.
It's the only way. Why show them some filler?
That's a cold open. Bam. No credit sequence.
So this is a trailer. Mm-hmm. It includes one scene. With
one movie. And you go, watch all of our movies, all the movies that we've made. I've run out of jukebox money. And many more. Here at Providence Films.
Providence Films.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
So write that down.
Okay, so this is just a company that's just making their show reel. It's a film production house.
No, but I personally, I'm going to pitch again my idea. This is in the early days of Hollywood, the 70s or the 80s, when Hollywood was just getting started. They just come up with the idea of film, and they wanted to create some buzz around it. That's why they had this company make these trailers, you know. Yeah. Seem like there was a lot happening in the film world. In reality, they released maybe two films a year, and one of them may well have been a re-release of an early Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I say early, I mean one from the early 80s, you know,
really
when films
early.
Started.
Yeah. So, The Black Cauldron, or...
One of those classic Disney movies, like The Black Cauldron.
Fox and the Hound.
Another stonking classic. They had a real... Who would have thought, right, when you were watching The Black Cauldron, that Disney would continue to become one of the the media titan, I'm going to say, of the world.
Yes, they own all entertainment.
Well,
yes,
that's a bit bold for me. No. But there's not really... It doesn't seem like there's that many people trying.
To have a media...
No, but like they were trying to make full-length animated features.
Yes.
Like, some people were making full-length animated features, but they weren't really trying.
You didn't get the feel.
Like, there was a lot of people along the way that were kind of going, it's good enough. People won't notice.
Oh, Absolutely.
Any old crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know if I can name a single one, but...
The Sword in the Stone. That yeah. might still have been Disney,
That's
by
another
the way.
Disney one.
That's another yeah. Disney. That one's terrible.
Wait, which is the one that has Merlin fighting another a witch?
The Sword in the Stone.
That's the Sword in the Stone?
Yes.
I like the fighting bit.
Wait, what's the one where Merlin turns the boy into a squirrel?
That's the Sword in the Stone.
But doesn't that one have Peter... Like, does
the
boy have a dragon?
The Sword in the Stone?
Yes, that's where the sword was.
It was stored in a stone.
That's true. I'm amazed that they didn't call it stored in a stone.
I mean, well, that's because they hadn't figured out, well, there's going to be something stored in a stone.
Something's
going to
be in the stone.
Maybe it's a sword, working maybe it's something else. Yeah.
I think, you know...
Maybe it's a can of beans.
Could be.
What's that thing that people say, they mention when they think that... the Mandela effect, is that what it is?
Yeah.
When people, they go, wait, Tim Tams doesn't have an S on it? It's just Tim Tam? And then they go, this is a weird Mandela effect. Do you know about this effect?
No.
So, this is the Bernstein Bears and the Bernstein Bears. Which one would you say it is?
Stein.
Yeah, it's Stein. Okay? They're called the Bernstein Bears.
Right.
And everybody says, well, the fact that everyone thinks they're the Bernstein Bears, but in fact they're the Bernstein Bears... proves that at some point in our timeline, we've switched into a parallel dimension in which it's the Bernstein Bears.
And it's the same thing with, there's loads of people that think that there was a movie that Sinbad was once in where he played a genie. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Called that's Shazam. Not,
that's with Shaq.
That's with Shaq, yeah.
And it's called Shazam.
Yeah. And it's named after one time, I think a lot of people, like when...
But wait, why is it called the Mandela
effect? When Nelson Mandela died, there was a lot of people that just remembered. They're like, wait, didn't he die in the early 80s? And there's loads of people who just have this vivid memory of Nelson Mandela.
That's when he went to prison or something.
Which is a kind of death.
It's true. It was the death
of innocence in many ways.
We didn't see a lot of him.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people remember seeing his funeral and things like that.
But we did, because he did die.
They put him into a box. Prison. It's prison. Prison is a coffin.
Sorry. Yes.
So the reason. Oh fuck! Now I've forgotten why. So the reason, as I was saying,
stored in the stone.
Oh yeah, that's right. That we could create our own fake Mandela effect by just telling people. Do you realize that it was actually called Stored in the Stone the whole time?
Are you talking, so we'd have a film called Jack to the Future, and it's about a guy called Jack who goes to the future.
Is that
what he means?
No, well, I was just assuming that we would...
Yeah, no, I think that's quite interesting. I'd like to do like a 20-to-1 kind of show, you know, one of those kind of clip show things... where it's a bunch of people sitting around talking, but it's about the Mandela effect, and that we do a couple of genuine ones, and then we just go into totally made-up territory, okay?
So both the film and its sort of misremembering are both fake.
Yes, yes, indeed. So then there's something like, I think we have one called Jack to the Future, and then we have another one called Jack to the Suture.
He's a surgeon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we...
Wait, what would Doc do? Is Doc actually a doctor?
Doctor.
I guess
it actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because at the moment he's called Doc. He wears a lab coat, I guess, does make sense because he's a scientist. But
scientists genuinely... don't they? Oh, no. Sorry. That's just students at high school who wear grey ones.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. The white ones are genuinely...
And in Jack to the Future, it's a different Huey Lewis and the News song. So it's Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News.
Which makes, again, heaps more sense.
Because there is an actual doctor in it.
Now, when he said, Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News, was he referring to Huey Lewis and the News?
Is Huey a doctor?
No. Huey's saying to the doctor, give me the news...
That's his
backup.
But
he doesn't actually let. No. I think he's talking news as in the other use of the word news, where it's people sometimes use to.
I've never heard that. I've never heard that use of the word news. I've only ever heard of the word news, in the context of Huey Lewis and the news, the backup band for Huey Lewis.
Right.
So
when people talk about the news media, You're talking about associated Huey Lewis and the news merchandise.
I mean, I've never tuned in, but I've assumed, yes. Based on what I know of the name of the band Huey Lewis and the News, which is that it includes the words and the news.
Well, you could have a tribute band called Huey Lewis and the Fake News.
Mm, sure.
I...
So it's the genuine Huey Lewis, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a tribute band to Huey Lewis and the News where I have got the actual Huey Lewis as the front man. Is he the front man in this band? Or is he part of the fake news?
I feel like you'd want to do something else. You know, you'd want to, like, you know, drum or, like...
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to. And it's not that... whenever it's someone and the so-and-sos, it doesn't mean that person's in the front. I mean, usually it does.
Someone and the so-and-sos is a great name. We should text George.
Someone and the so-and-sos.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write it down.
Yeah, make a note, Alistair.
Someone.
And the so-and-sos.
We've
got a film studio who are starting up.
Yeah, and we've done that. That's written down. That's set in stone.
We're potentially going for this 20-to-1 Mandela effect thing.
I don't understand what that is.
Look, so what it is, it's like the TV show 20-to-1. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. Was that with Ray Martin?
It might have been Bert Newton.
Bert Newton.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of...
In my universe... It was Ray Martin.
No, that's right. I always remembered it being Ray Martin.
So there is one Bert Newton and 20 Ray Martins.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're one is 20 or two the other one.
Mm.
I think this would go good on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people would be like, oh, yeah, Mandela Effect. I remember that. Bernstein Bears. Yeah. But then you get some other ones in there stored in the sun.
Yeah. just as stupid as we can make them. Is it too dumb to have one where it's like, look, I remember there being 6 biscuits left in the jar. This morning there are only 2.
What about,
at some point we've moved into a parallel universe.
What about, I remember humans always having 2 nostrils, but then they just have 1 in this scene. So as soon as you cut back to Ray, he's just got one big nostril.
Yeah.
And then everybody from that point on just has one nostril.
Yeah.
And we've actually, it was mid-show that we shifted.
Yeah.
We shifted to a parallel universe.
Yeah, I love it so much. I love it almost as much as my great biscuits idea. That I seem to remember everyone really laughed heaps at.
Yeah.
That was... In my universe, that one was much funnier than your nostril thing.
But things changed in the new universe.
So wait, do people have one nostril first and then at some point it changes and we all have 2 nostrils? Like we know that we all have?
Mm.
Except some people think otherwise? Or is it the other way around?
No. When they say that we all have one nostril, but they're like, no, they go... Remember, I thought I remember everybody having 2 nostrils like that. And then
we cut to Ray nodding to this. Ray.
And then, all the talking heads are just suddenly they just have 1 nostril now.
Yeah, that was so weird.
So, like, it's Kenny with 1 nostril and...
Yeah, it's Kenny.
Ida Buttrose with 1 nostril.
And absolutely. Scotty Cam.
Yep.
One nostril.
Other Australian celebrities. Paul Hogan.
You know what? If you only had 1 nostril, I don't know why you would do this, but if you're standing on your head, you could catch loads of rain in there.
So much rain. And that's why it makes sense, right? Obviously, we'd have 1 nostril because when we used to hang in the trees, that's how we'd collect water.
Yeah. Like you just sleep with your head back.
Yeah.
Like that.
Wake up in the morning to a fresh, limpid pool of rainwater.
Isn't this just...
And snot.
Aren't we just dividing the amount of rainwater we can currently store in our nostrils?
No. It's bigger, it's more efficient to have one large nostril.
Oh, so the
oh, like, it's a big one.
It's much bigger than just 2 nostrils separately.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I didn't mention the nose size also changes. And your nose and your mouth swap places.
I think I remember that. And then we cut back to someone and suddenly their nose and mouth have swapped.
Yeah. And I thought I reckon I remember that our noses used to be above our mouths. But then and the other way around. And the nose is upside down. It just kind of looks like it's a little pointy upside down thing. And there's people who have this big smile in the middle of their face. And they're going, yeah, me too. No, I don't remember that.
And then they all swap back.
I don't think so. No. I think we're slowly getting into a hellscape.
Yeah. Mm. I love it. It's everything we want. But could we also have ones in which people are like, I remember a universe in which people remembered that there was a fake version of Shazam with Shaquille O'Neal. And other people are like, I don't remember that version. Does that make sense?
Like as in they remember...
Other versions of the Mandela effect in other universes.
Or they remember, I remember a universe where there's no such thing as television and then just the whole program stops.
Mm. Or they're performing it live in a cave. Or on stage.
What, in Plato's cave?
Yeah.
So they're just shadows on the wall.
They're just shadows on the wall.
And the men are shackled.
And there's all these people shackled.
And there's one...
I don't remember anything!
And there's one true philosopher who breaks out of the shackles and leaves the cave and comes back and tries to describe it to everyone. He's like, there's a 7-Eleven out there.
But he sees the world and his brain can't handle it.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what I recently listened to the beginning of one of those podcasts about history of philosophy. And they, you know, obviously really early on they get to Plato's cave. And so it's fresh in my mind.
Wait, is Plato's cave what we're calling the giant nostril?
That would be really good. Yeah. To be honest, they were all just shadows projected on your nostril wall.
Which is all smells are, really, aren't they?
Exactly.
They're not. Smells aren't the real object. They're just a shadow of the object.
That's right.
The smell of a pie isn't a pie.
A smaddo.
Is a smaddo? There would be such a thing
schmaddo?
As a or a schmaddo would be. There would be such a thing as a smell shadow because smell would radiate out from an object. So you've got a pie there, right? And then you've got a large vertical plank between you and the pie.
Yeah.
Right? There'd be a region behind the plank in which there would be a smell shadow where the radiating pie smell would not fall into that cavity.
It's true.
Pete, you're looking at me in a way that doesn't fill me with confidence that I've said anything.
I'm just thinking of that famous Cat Stevens song.
I'm being followed by a smell
pie shadow. Moon pie shadow, moon pie shadow.
That's
moon pie.
Yeah. What a time to be alive. Anyway, you can tune in to Simpsons Quotes daily.
They do a lot of those on Do Go On.
Do they?
Yeah, pretty much every episode they'll get into some kind of a riff on...
On a Simpsons quote.
On the Smamsons. Quote.
Yeah, on the
Smamsons. I always remember them being called the Smamsons. Well, all right, look, that's the 20-1 Mandela effect.
Yeah, great. Okay. I wonder... If time is an illusion and what we think is time is just us every like unit of time moving into a parallel dimension.
Wait, which like is the illusionary units of time.
Well, all we do is we just keep moving into a parallel universe, which is one imaginary unit of time further ahead of the one we were in before, and because of the Mandela effect, we're like, I seem to remember it being a second ago. Last I checked, it was a second ago.
Well, that's positive because that makes time travel more plausible if you can move into another dimension, which is, what, is that dimension static? The one that would have existed
every
before?
Dimension is static. Yes.
So it only lasts for whatever unit, like let's say a second.
Yeah, that's the unit of time. I've never thought of anything much smaller than that. No. I was looking at my clock the other day and I noticed that it only moves in units of seconds.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Made me think.
Do you prefer like a sort of a 60 minute like tick 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 kind of one rather than
I want
like
that.
A tick 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 tick. What was that?
I'm Peter Harper.
What is that 60 minutes one? What speed is that clock?
I'm Liz Herbert.
Are those quarter seconds?
It's a stopwatch.
I know, but are they half seconds?
Yes. I don't know. I've never timed them. It seems to defeat the purpose.
Maybe they're just trying to trick us into thinking that a second is much faster than it is, so that they can shorten the program and cram in more ads.
I guess they also had to differentiate themselves from 24.
Yeah.
You know, the TV show that was also done in real time.
But that definitely did do it in seconds, because it was beep.
Yeah. We're really going for different tones there.
But also, Peter Harvey talks so slowly,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe they put that there at the start as like a little metronome to try and kick him into gear. Come on, Peter.
Oh, Peter Harvey, come on.
Peter Harvey's mailbag. That was great. Somebody else's voice.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you at all.
No. And it also doesn't sound like Peter Harvey.
But you are Peter Harvey, so...
Yeah, it's very confusing.
We're drinking what? Beers.
Mm.
Andy felt guilty or something.
Well, he made a sound, I think.
But you know what?
Feel like that explains a lot about this episode.
Or a sound shadow.
Sign a sign on a sound shadow. If new universe was being created every unit of time, right?
Yes.
But not only just one new one. It's like there's just hundreds in terms of all the possibilities that could occur, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's heaps. But already that's so
because
many.
Let's say you're a multiverse.
Yes.
You need
I'm a multiverse.
Hello, multiverse. Well, especially if you're starting out as a multiverse.
Oh, no, I'm out of milk.
You need to...
This character is so rich.
You need to populate your multiverse very quickly. And so by creating, let's say, 100 universes based on all the micro things that a person could have done every second, every even millisecond, like that, you know, that's a really good way to kind of get your numbers up really fast. Because if you're trying to get to infinity.
Yeah, that's going to take ages, and you want to wake up pretty early in the morning and get started.
You're assuming that there are potentials. What if it's just, this is it? This is the way it's supposed to be, and this is the only way that things can possibly happen.
Like this is a universe?
Yeah. So the next second is the only possible next second. There's only one possibility.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's predetermined.
Yes. Yeah. It's all worked out.
What if it's not worked out, but there is only one option, the way that it does happen? Because I think that's probably closer to the way that it is.
Well, otherwise it'd be a bit hard.
Well, it's just hard. I'm just thinking,
I can't be bothered doing all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
I tuned out ages ago. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm thinking about something else.
It seems like too much work to predetermine it.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't predetermine it. You let it happen. There's only one way it can happen.
Mm.
And it's the way that it does happen.
Or at least afterwards you say that was the only way that it could happen. So you make it look predetermined. This is Alan, my theory about trying to make it look like you've worked harder than you have.
Mm-hmm.
You just make really clear decisions, right? And you pick something, right? And it looks like you've really thought about it. Because people assume that if you've made a bold decision that you've thought about it. Yeah. You'd be crazy not to.
Must be a reason.
You can just make the decision anyway, and then they'll assume that you knew what you were doing.
Fake it until you make it.
It's basically a post-determinism universe.
Yeah.
Right? Where you watch everything unfold and you say, see, I meant that.
Well, it's also because it's like, it makes you look like a dumbass to ask anybody who does like creative work why they made a decision.
Oh, that's the worst thing to ask.
Yeah. So you go, you're supposed to sort of just get it.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I have an idea why you did that. Mm. You go, yeah, don't ask me.
so do I.
Yeah. I've got an idea.
I had very strong reasons for doing that.
That's a really good trick that artists have pulled off, isn't it? Making people feel bad for asking why they did things.
Oh, that was a bold decision. Yes.
Better not question.
It wasn't just the first thing that came to my mind.
Made with just cause.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get away with that in any other profession, you know? Malcolm Turnbull, when he tried to give this $444 million grant to this Great Barrier Reef Foundation.
444, that sounds suspicious.
It is already.
It sounds like a number that would come up on a pokies machine.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Four fours.
Where that was probably how they laundered the money.
In many ways.
I'm all about money. I don't know if there's any money that was laundered. Guys, keep going with what you were trying to say.
But you know, he just made that call, right? And now people are like, why? Why did you give them the money? They didn't even ask for it. Why did you give them that amount of money?
Mm.
You know, whereas if he was an artist, he'd just be able to say, well,
that's the way it's supposed to be.
If you have to ask, you'll never understand.
You'll never get it.
And
that's why I'm proposing I become the first artist prime minister.
This is great. Okay? This is a very two in the think tank idea. What have we had? We've had reluctant prime minister. we've had actively violently against the idea prime minister.
Yes. We've had a president in a box.
President in a box, exactly. And now it's time for artistic prime minister. He can't justify any of his decisions. He just does what he feels.
It's political jazz.
I actually like this a lot. I think this is a sketch idea.
Definitely.
Right. Okay. I'll just write it down now and we can work out what it is later.
Yeah. He dresses quite...
Just like artists the prime minister would do.
Exactly.
Yes.
He dresses quite artistically, and all of his advisors and that sort of thing sort of very much protect his ego and, you know, compliment him on all his decisions. Are we just describing Donald Trump?
No. He looks like he works in arts there. Admin. He wears long flowing clothes, right? He's got red glasses. Yeah. Exactly.
He clicks a lot.
Yeah. During speeches, after his own speeches, like that, he has
a lot of girlfriends.
Sure, he's
polyamorous. And they're all cool with it. They're all cool with it.
Yeah, and they all have boyfriends, and they're cool with it.
They're cool with it as well.
If anything, yeah, they're all cool with it.
If anything, the thing I said.
Yeah.
If anything, it is what it is.
So in terms of, like, this artist prime minister is making what does he do? His policies are...
He's making policies. He's making funding decisions. He's declaring war on various countries.
But... As artistic statements, you know, he's not governing for the people. He's governing for art.
Yeah,
and sometimes that is for the people, because sometimes you just want art for the people. Like, you know, when you build, like when you put, like, you carve some wood to look like a wave in a coastal town.
Yeah,
that's a bold statement.
Yeah,
people love that though, don't they?
Oh, they eat it up. They go, it's a wave. We're near the coast.
Look, one of the logs has been carved to look like a dolphin.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow. Where do they get their ideas?
You know, there's a lot of light blues and dark blues and then some white that represents the whitewash.
Yeah. Mm. Of the water.
Sure, it could be of water.
Okay.
So artistic prime minister is taking – is like a pop artist. So they're taking things from culture and then reprocessing that and then giving it back as art.
Sure. Like they might do the previous party's policies, the previous government's policies, but do them satirically.
Or just make them
blue. As a comment. Yeah, or make them blue.
Yeah.
They might declare war on Vanuatu, but more than anything, they're declaring war on the status quo.
Mm, that's right, because we never, you know, that was just a thing that... No prime minister in Australia had ever done that.
No.
Right? For good reason.
Yeah.
I'm mobilising the nation's army against the status quo.
Which is going to be difficult because you would want like the...
The military's the Navy. A huge part of the status quo.
No, like Vanuatu's not connected by land.
I see what you're saying.
You want to mobilise the Navy?
Why didn't I mobilise the Navy?
Or the Air Force?
No. See, this is exactly... I immobilised the Navy. They're all standing perfectly still down at the mall. People love that kind of art. But it's the army. I'm sending them.
Meanwhile, the army are the treading, land they're treading just, water, doggy paddling their way to Vanuatu.
Driving tanks right into the sea.
It's a striking statement about the futility of war.
Exactly. And when you do blow up stuff around Vanuatu, you blow it up in a cool, like, sort of stencil pattern that looks like...
Oh, God, Jesus.
You know, that looks like Santa Claus given a gobby.
Wait, when you said blow it up, I thought you were saying like blow it up like one of those pop art pieces. Like
we can do that too.
Like that too, and it's Santa Claus giving a gobby. So is there like a Banksy kind of a thing?
I was going for a Banksy. That's why I was thinking, you know, those kind of earthy, blow-up-y tones.
Let's have
for anybody outside of Australia who doesn't know what giving a gobby is, it is a sexual fellatio.
Performing a sexual fellatio.
Yeah. Yes, not a sexual one.
Not a platonic fellatio.
No. In a cave.
Platonic.
I don't get how he gets to describe friendship and also this hell cave that we all live in.
You're right. Plato is complex in that regard. Yeah. Also, I didn't trust when, like, this is one thing that I think he got wrong. He thinks that somebody would escape the cave and then would lose their mind when they saw the real world. But I reckon you'd go, whoa, this is really different to in that cave. You go, but you know what? I like it.
Yeah.
It's better.
It's better.
I haven't lost my mind. I'm just glad to be out of that cave.
I'm thrilled. You think that could be...
Telling him that he would lose his mind sounds like the kind of thing that you would say to a guy if you're trying to keep him to stay in the cave.
Yeah.
He was just describing a place where he was keeping people locked up and what he was telling them.
This is really suspicious.
It was an experiment.
Has anybody checked out Plato's cave?
Not recently, no.
See what he's doing to people down there?
Is that Plato's cave off the Nepean Highway?
Plato's cave. Now, I'm just trying to get this reference. Is that a reference to the Christmas cave or something? Or
is, is that on the Nepean Highway? Yeah, the Christmas cave.
I think I could open up a... I could open up a shop called Plato's Cave and I guess we'd sell, I don't know, fireplaces?
fireplaces, shadows.
Shadow puppet shows.
Yeah, we sell shadow puppet shows.
You could just do it with a projector. You could probably just, like, you know, blow out, like, what's that movie with that guy with the sled at the end?
Good Morning, Vietnam.
You could just blow out all the colors, right, so that it's just silhouettes. Just say that it's a puppet show.
Great.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just get the contrast up real high. It's all silhouettes. Just say somebody, like, at the end, have a guy come in. He's like, yeah, I'm the puppeteer. And everybody shakes his hand. They go, oh, my God.
How did you do that? Amazing.
How'd you make the voice of fucking Robin Williams with your hands? And then he goes, you know the thing when you make farty sounds with your hands? And then he goes, it's basically just an advanced version of this.
This is like a life hack or something. It's like an easy way to trick people into thinking you're good at shadow puppets, or like a way to make money.
Just
quickly.
Blow it out.
Blow
just,
out.
You find some guy on Fiverr who knows how to blow out films. You know Fiverr? You go on there. You spend give somebody $5.
Fiverr's not the part I'm having trouble with.
Right, he knows how to blow out films. It's just he gets the contrast up, just the things up in front are real. They become silhouettes, and then just the white, the background.
Wait,
becomes
are you
white.
Just talking
I don't
about?
Don't think you know how black and white work. Things up the front become silhouettes and things.
Are you just talking about like a light shining on a wall?
No. It's the film. You're just blowing out the film.
You're turning up the saturation, so it's just blacks and whites, right?
Okay. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Is that?
I think because you said blacks and whites and made it a racial.
No.
Thing.
No. You'd be turning down the saturation to remove all of the color, wouldn't you? That's how you do it in Photoshop.
I mean, we'll work it out when we open Plato's Cave.
Okay, got it.
Plato's Cave. This place that sells wood heaters, blinds, and life hack puppet shows.
No. We're not. Well, I mean, I don't think we're selling how to. Give away like how to do the puppet shows. People are coming for the puppet shows, staying for the wood heater so they can buy a wood heater, take it home.
Yeah. Geez, I wonder if anyone's realized that Plato's Cave is like a really good metaphor for today's media. Do you reckon that's anyone's thought of that?
Oh, maybe.
Wait, before...
Our news media.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Wait, just before we do this, here's a thing that we could sell in Plato's Cave. Yeah. Right? You know, like, this is the problem with a lot of wood stoves, right? You got to get a guy to come in, tear a fucking hole in your floor so that you can pass this pipe up through your second story, right?
Yeah. And you're living in a two-story house. You're doing okay.
Right. You know, whatever.
The pipe's still got to go through the roof anyway.
Yeah, it's got to go through the roof as well. You got to tear through the roof.
You could have a first floor.
Yeah. You got to tear through something. Yeah, there's going to be some tearing, right? And so then, anyway, and then you got to have – and it's there. It's permanent. If you didn't, if you realize you don't like the heat from a wood stove, you don't have to like stack in wood.
What am I going
to
do?
Oh, I don't like the kind of heat we get out of this wood stove.
Yeah, I mean, that happens.
Yeah, it's the wrong kind of heat.
And there's no way to stop it from burning.
Maybe you I know, but then you just got this stove. Anyway, at Plato's Cave, we sell a wood stove that is portable. Right?
Okay.
Right? And, but instead of like a pipe that goes outside, it just comes with a big bag. Right? And it's a big bag. It just fills up with smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? And then when it's full, you just go outside and you just squeeze it out. It'll be a fun thing to do with the kids.
Trying to squeeze out the smoke bag.
You know?
Who wants to help Dad?
Oh, me. I want to.
Yeah.
No, you got to do it last time. Yeah.
Share with your sister.
Yeah. Or, you know, you could inhale what's in the bag.
That'd be fun as well for the kids.
Because you could breathe it in and like a cigar, not pull it into your lungs, but just into your mouth, and then just blow smoke rings together.
All right, what
and
about
it'll
this?
Taste like camping.
What about this though? Because that could be not very environmentally friendly, right? What if we also have a bin, the grey bin, right? And you have to put your smoke bags into the grey bin. All right,
just like it's just a huge bin.
No, you've got to squeeze the whole thing in there. It's a real nightmare.
You
got to
compress the gas.
It's quite a comical scene.
It's really light.
To put this huge inflated bag.
Yeah,
I don't
mind that.
Right, you like the comic scene?
I like a comic scene.
Yeah, great. Well, this is going to be one of those.
If you could
it'll be funny.
It'll be funny. Right. Yeah,
I want comic scenes. And actually, if you could start mentioning comic scenes in all your other sketches,
I'll put them in all of them. Yeah, this is quite a comic scene.
Especially how is Plato's wall like Plato's cave like the news media one.
Yeah.
Will that have a comic scene?
Oh, Alistair, you better believe this scene is going to be comic.
Okay, wait. We finish the grey bin one.
And then they take away in the truck all the bags, and then they put them into sky fill, right, which is a section of the sky where we're keeping all the pollution. It's like landfill, but like we're holding it all there with big fans. Oh, it's all trapped.
How is that different from what we're doing right now, Andy?
No, well, because they're keeping it all in one place.
But they are.
We could just be doing that.
That's what
we're going to do. Trapped by the...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Couldn't we just have a big bag?
Big bag!
We could just have a big bag.
That's even better than my fan idea.
I mean, the fan idea is great, but then you got to have fans above the smoke to keep it down.
It's a lot of work.
You know, is it just like, is that a guy in a hot air balloon? Is that a guy in a plane? You got to think about
whatever it is, it's a guy.
It's a guy. It's a man's job.
Yeah. Smoke wrangling?
Whatever it is. Yes.
The smoke shepherd.
Mmm. It's quite nice, actually. Sheep are a lot like a little puff of smoke.
Mm.
That's right. And if this was Japan, there would already be a manga about it.
Yeah.
But it's not, alas.
Japan? It's not a manga or it's not Japan?
Japan isn't a manga, but also this isn't Japan.
Alas.
Alas. Alas is also not a Japan.
It's almost a less car.
That's true.
Yeah, but I thought
which is close to Japan
in a way.
You know,
this could be our silliest episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, write that down. Skyfill.
I like Skyfill.
Yeah.
And it connects directly to our Plato's Cave idea.
That bag is going to all that pollution. The bag is going to rise, right? It's going to go up.
Oh, it's got to.
Right, and then surely we can do something with that. Can't we just float around under
castles? Jumping castles could be filled with just pollution.
Yeah. Put them in jumping castles. Sequestration.
There you go.
Pump it in.
And then when the kids jump, They're compressing it in some way.
Are we describing clean coal? Is that?
I think we've cracked it.
Yeah.
This is something that our artistic prime minister can do.
Absolutely. He somehow connects coal companies with children's parties and finds, you know, it's like a lot of the jumping castle stuff is just energy that's not being used very efficiently. Kids go wild. They use way more energy not than efficient. They normally do. They're not efficient.
Yeah.
They're actually inefficient.
And even if and then when it turns out this doesn't work, the artist prime minister can just say, it was always just going to be a statement about futility.
Exactly.
You don't get it.
Like war. Yeah,
like war.
Like
A lot of your policies seem to be statements about futility.
Yeah.
Well, that's the futility of existence. All right. You got us there.
It was a statement about futility.
Yeah.
Do you think marching is futile?
Marching?
You know, like big marches?
No, hang on. Which kind?
Eh? Like not
do you
the
mean
month
like a protest
March.
Or the month of March, the Ides of March?
Like, you know, like all these marches that have happened. Remember the march for the Iraq War? No, it wasn't for the war.
I remember
war.
It.
There probably were marches for the war.
And you remember all these ones that were...
And I'd like to state for the record that my dad at the time thought that we probably should go into Iraq. But since then, he's reversed his opinion. I think he's pretending never to have had the other position.
Mandela effect.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Could have been the Mandela effect. As soon as your dad realized how bad the Iraq war has been, we switched into a parallel universe.
But that's
universe.
Not the reason why people have got Bernstein and Bernstein confused.
Yeah, it's because of the Iraq war.
No, it's because of the Iraq war.
Because they realized that they didn't like Bernstein. Yeah, so they created an alternate universe where Bernstein was the I can't even remember what the other one's supposed to be.
Bernstein.
Yeah,
Bernstein.
Well, you haven't got any of them right so far.
No. I know. It wasn't that his realization that made us go into a different parallel universe.
Mm.
It's just that it also happened right after.
Just coincidence.
Yeah,
which happens.
Because I mean, a lot of people remember him having loved that war. To be honest, I think he celebrated the war.
Why do we all have to have moved into a different universe? Could you use this as a defense in a court of law? My client seems to have unjustifiably murdered this person, but in their defense, they had just recently arrived from a universe in which their murder was justified.
Circumstances have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, it's not circumstances that have changed, it's everything else.
Everything that isn't circumstances has changed.
Yeah, his circumstances have remained the same, but just in his universe.
Mm-hmm.
The universes have changed.
Yeah.
Dimensions.
That sounds like a legitimate defense.
I mean, you know, who would you get on the stand?
the proprietor of Plato's Cave. No, wait, Plato's Cave.
Wait, Andy?
Yeah. I'll tell you about my good prices on wood heaters.
And that wasn't very much help to the defence, to be honest.
No, but it would have been in that other universe. Bloody hell. That would have had them rolling in the aisles, which in that universe is a really good sign.
Oh, right. Not a crime?
Not a crime, no.
He had them rolling in the aisles, and I assume that he just had fed them some poisonous thing that made their stomachs hurt.
But, like, how many are there's only if you're talking about aisles and say a movie theater, there's only two really.
Yeah, but if you're laying down, you do take up less space.
So there would only be people on either side of those aisles would be able to get out and roll in.
Oh, that is true.
It'd take a long because it takes a while to empty out a movie theater.
That's true.
So the rolling would have to be very well organized.
This is another great life hack, right? Because we had the one before about how to get cheap and easy puppet shows, shadow puppets, right?
Like unbelievable high level of puppetry.
Oh, incredible.
Acclaim.
Yeah, people won't believe it, especially how you did the voices.
Yeah. Okay.
Just using your hands.
The farty sound people make with their hands.
That's a key part of shadow puppetry as well.
But this is another life hack.
Are you making the shadow puppets with your hands?
Well, sound shadows.
No, but there's sound shadows as well. That's the thing, is that a lot of the sounds, what's more impressive is that the sounds that he's making them with the absences of sound.
The absence of sound, right. Well, which is really what sound is. No, but if you think about it...
Okay, I will.
I'm trying to.
But no, but if you think about it, right, sound is only given meaning by the absence of sound, right? It's the... Because
yeah.
Right? Every waveform can be made from a superposition of different waveforms. Therefore, it's only by removing waveforms, silence, of particular frequencies that you create the shape of a specific waveform that then conveys information.
But is silence a waveform?
Anyway, I'm trying to get out my point about this other great life hack.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Right? And I'm going to forget it because I've forgotten so many things this episode. Another great life hack for if your shadow puppet isn't going well in your life hack shadow puppet, you can create the impression of a really successful shadow puppetry by A, giving people some kind of intestinal poison so they're rolling in the aisles, mm-hmm. right? You can also, right, release a whole lot of spiders, right, into the theatre so they're slapping their thighs, right? And think about...
It's a comedy shadow puppetry.
Sure, why not? Yeah. I mean, any reaction. I feel like every good movie should in some way include comedy because it's just a part of life.
That's true.
Right?
And every bit of art represents all of life in a way.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm just thinking about how...
Yes, Mr. Prime Minister.
You can induce a reaction in someone by doing the physical act that happens with that reaction.
Well, maybe you're not inducing the reaction in them, but you are sort of creating the impression for people walking by that people are having a great time. It's like the...
It's not like Clockwork Orange.
It's about acclaim.
It's about building a brand, creating buzz.
Yeah.
It's the movie trailers again.
Yeah.
Right? We've got people slapping. You walk past a place. Everyone's slapping their thighs.
People are rolling on the ground.
Because they're in pain.
And all you can see on the wall, it looks like everybody's just watching shadow puppetry of Good Morning Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
So this is essentially the scene in Home Alone. Where Kevin McAllister is trying to convince the wet bandits that he's having a great party.
Does he do it? He's doing it in the shower, or
he's
using those two strings. He's got that clown that you punch.
Yep, he's got a.
Sorry, did
a
you say the wet bandits?
Yes.
Yeah, the wet bandits.
Oh no, wait. What do you think they're called, Andy?
I didn't think they had a name.
They did because they. What did they do?
One of them kept turning on. It was the dumber one, not Joe Pesci. The other one, he kept turning on all of the taps, and he's like, "We're the wet bandits," and that was his thing. And he was trying to get it to catch on.
That definitely didn't happen in my universe.
Yeah. Well, wait.
They were just in a lot of pain.
I was about to. Look, do you guys?
They were always whichever universe you go into.
Existence is pain, especially if you're the guys from
the wet bandits.
Home Alone.
Oh, sorry, Home Alone.
And Home Alone 2, they really copped it in that one.
If Buddha had been in Home Alone. Yes. It would make more sense when he said that existence is pain.
Yeah, yeah, especially if he was...
Unless that's exactly what he was doing. He was involved in trying to rob the houses of people who
of
were away.
Wait, Buddha's not Kevin McAllister in this. So there's no, oh my God, we forgot Buddha.
No, they're not going, Buddha! As they get on the plane, right? Bodhisattva! Like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, no, Joe Buddha, Pesci, was he Buddha?
Yeah, it would be like Buddha would be like a Joe Pesci or the dumb guy kind of.
I feel like scenario. His physique was closer to Joe Pesci.
Yeah, I think and that is the role that Joe Pesci was born to play.
Buddha?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, he's been out of the game for a while. I reckon he'd come back, he'd make a great Buddha.
Is he out of the game? Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
I think
Louis C.K. wanted to get him for his. Horace and Pete or whatever, yeah, right. But he ended up getting Alan Alda.
Instead. Oh, that was a pretty good get.
It was a pretty good get, but I think he felt like he was settling.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
For Alan Alda. Yeah. It's a shame we had to get Alan Alda for our comedy TV sitcom.
Harvey Keitel, which in many ways I think is a better version of Joe Pesci.
You haven't ruled that out.
No.
It's still very much on the cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get a good Keitel. Do you guys think that the shadow puppetry is its own thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Write it down, Al. Write it down.
A shadow puppetry acclaim.
Keitel. Yes. Absolutely. He's got a surname. He should have gone into... He should have started a phone company. Right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I don't think it's too late as well. Like, he could absolutely do a bloody team-up with Harvey Norman. It's Harvey Keitel.
What about like...
It's a phone company.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Mm.
That is... that you can instantly sell that.
Instantly sell that. I don't know if anyone's listening knows Harvey Keitel's people.
Or Jerry
George
Harvey.
Harvey. Or Jerry.
Jerry Harvey.
Jerry Harvey.
Or George Harvey. I'll settle for any Harvey. Really, we only need your surname.
Peter Harvey?
Peter Harvey.
From 60 Minutes.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't have to talk quickly. With
yeah, with Harvey, Harvey Keitel.
With unlimited minutes.
Which is ironic because Peter Harvey has a mailbag. He still gets all his mail delivered.
I mean, this is one of the services that
Harvey Keitel
offers. Is that, you know how you can now leave a voicemail and it'll get sent to people as a text message.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can send somebody a letter and it'll go to them as a voicemail.
Yeah, or you can send them a voicemail and then they'll send you a letter.
Yeah. That's even better.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That is so good.
What about for grandma who doesn't know how to check her voice messages?
What about me who just, like, it'd just be so good just to take the pressure off responding to things. If things...
Slow it down. Is that what you're asking for?
Slow it down.
Yeah.
A phone company where voicemails, any contact will come to you in the form of a letter. This has got to be a thing.
Wait, why is it a phone company? If it's, aren't you just describing the postal service?
I know, but the postal service
is dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
Rebranding.
They need something new. Like a, they need to become a phone company.
I think I genuinely think this could take off. Right, you call some number. You call some number. You just talk for a while. Right, you get everything off your chest, and then that goes to somebody as that appears in their letterbox. With a stamp and handwritten, right?
Mm.
And then they read that, and then they can call the number there, and they can leave a message back, and you'll get the thing.
That'd be nice, because then you don't have to write a letter.
You don't have to write a letter. Ugh. It's the same.
And you don't have to talk to someone.
And you don't have to talk to someone. It's all the benefits of a phone call without the disadvantages of writing a letter.
Yeah, it's like ordering pizza, but... ordering friendship.
Yeah, human, you know, the way things used to be with genuine contact. God,
but without too much genuine contact, though, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Genuine lack of contact.
Yeah. Yeah, but the lack of contact is genuine.
Oh, it's genuine, yeah. The absence
the way
of
that we
humanity.
Used to lack contact.
Mm.
It's not that I'm not there, it's that I don't want to be.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm there. I'm in the next room. But this is better. I think it's beautiful because we also so, like
it's
you
the
think
Harvey
about
Keitel
all
mail
the,
service.
Yeah.
So this is like this is trying to abstract the
phone company mail service
your voicemail into another medium. I think that we should keep going.
Yeah.
And then from it goes from like leaving a voice message to a letter to what? To back into a voice message? No, it goes into some like, other into a painting. Someone paints a picture based on your letter.
Yeah, that's deeply meaningful.
And then someone makes a film about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone describes the film to you over the phone.
Somebody writes up the synopsis of the film.
Yeah, I think, of course, a lot of the time when a film gets made, they sort of rewrite a lot of the characters. Yep. They condense a lot of the plot and they leave out a lot of stuff.
They've got to make it faster.
Maybe they even fictionalize sections of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the version of the... voice message that was turned into a letter that I want to see. Okay, I don't want your boring voice message.
That's true.
I'll watch it at the cinema.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, and eventually, with you know our thirst for content, you know Disney, Marvel, they're making so much stuff.
Sure.
Now. Eventually, DC? Voicemail messages are gonna be. They'll turn to these and they'll be like, "Let's see what's in the voicemails."
Well, that's a completely untapped.
Movie. Yeah,
it's a completely untapped market.
Nobody's ever listened to any of them. There could be great stuff in there.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is that there's probably at least one screenplay. I mean, you're right, emoji movie, right? But that's. You know, that's text messages.
So this it's crazy that we got the emoji movie before we got the voicemail movie. Yeah.
We got You've Got Mail. That's
yeah.
the email
so this
movie.
Is You've Got Harvey Keitel. What was it?
Phone company mail service.
Harvey Keitelograms.
Mm.
And yeah, shows up.
Why?
In the cinema.
So I get the tell bit in K-tell. Mm. What does the K stand for?
It just seems like the kind of initial that you'd put in front of a
It a stands phone for company. K-tell.
K-tell, yeah.
So that's the problem with, you know, Alexander Graham Bell, right?
Really should have been Alexander Graham Tell.
Tell. Because, I mean, there's a company in Canada. The main provider is Bell Canada.
Yeah.
Right?
The Bellophone.
Which, you know, it
should be called the Bellophone.
It should be called the Bellophone.
Or the Telly Bell.
The Telly Bell, sure.
The Telly Bell? The Belly Tell?
The Bell Bell.
I mean, the Belly Tell is a different thing.
Yeah. That's when you know you've eaten something not good.
Anyway, it should probably just. I mean, we could probably stop when you said it was the Bellophone. Do you think I should just read out what the sketches we have today?
Yeah, okay. Excellent. Did we have any words from a listener, or did we forget to do that?
Oh, shit. Well, I'll get them.
All right. Yeah. Andy and I will talk about something else.
More, I like the Bellophone.
Yes. Right? Because it sounds like a velodrome.
Yeah.
Or exactly. Or like it's a foam. Like, it's not even a way of communicating. It's a
substance. But also bellow obviously means to shout, right?
Yep, or to start a fire, with your bellows.
Yeah, but do you think that the original Bellophone was just shouting? He would just stand at the top of his house and he'd just yell, you know, across the suburb or whatever to his mates. Alistair, you look like you've got something.
Something, you guys. I got fucking something right here. Yeah. It's three words from a listener.
Excellent.
The listener is, if I did not...
And these are people who support our Patreon, which we should really start mentioning at the start of the show.
Thank you for... Oh, yeah. Do you think by this point people have stopped listening?
I hope they have. Well, I just, you know, really...
If you were to have any respect for them.
Yeah, exactly. All we ever hope to do is to, like, just distract you for maybe an hour,
but
yeah,
in
the hope that something better will come along.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's all we offer.
We're giving you an opportunity to for your mind to be occupied while you await opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, support us on Patreon.
$3 allows you to give us three words. $8 allows you get more of this crap where we have two Patreon-only episodes a month.
Yeah, where we're coming up with just random ideas on one of them and developing a sitcom on the other. It's very good, Pete. It's called Exorcisters. It's very compelling.
Oh, this sounds great.
It's about sisters and their exorcists.
Where can I subscribe?
Patreon.com/thinktank.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm there now.
Or is it /2intank?
Alistair, I don't know.
I think it might be 2intank.
2intank, sorry.
Yeah, think tank. That would be something else.
I just tried to sound confident.
No, it's okay, but it's because that's what we do for
a living.
Sound confident? I definitely do not.
No, definitely.
Anyway,
not.
The three words today, if I did not mistranscribe his name, it's Kieran McFadzean.
Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you.
I like it. And your words are, Kieran. Now, this first word is going to be a word that I'm going to say it with your accent so that you know what I'm saying. So with my accent... There's going to be some gray area.
Yeah, great.
Aunts.
Yeah,
instead of ants. I would say ants.
Yeah, great.
Right, yeah, and we get different aunts.
Aunts.
Ants.
Wood.
Yep.
Leica. Do you know what Leica is?
Is Leica spelled L-E-I-C-A?
L-A-I-K-A.
Leica was the first dog in space.
Holy sent up there, moly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm loving these words. Aunts would like her, right? I mean, have we had an aunt in space? I don't know that we have. We've had a woman in space. Mm. I don't know if she was an aunt.
Several women in space.
I don't know if they're... Yeah, that's true. But
You sound like you were correcting me, Pete.
I'm not.
But when I said we've had a woman in space, I didn't rule out the fact that we might have had women in space as well. I was just referring to one of them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't generalize.
I think we've had more than one at the same time.
Really? Well, all right.
Now, I don't know. Becoming an astronaut does sound like something an only child would do. But there's a chance that...
It really does, doesn't it? I wonder if there's a statistic about that. You know?
I mean, I don't know why this is, you know, like, this is what I've thought of. But is there, like, a record for the deepest a person has ever gone? And... Is there a record for the deepest a woman has ever gone, separate to
A person.
Like they've got like, oh, the first man in space was this, the first woman in space. Mm. But, you know, what is the deepest into the Earth,
yep,
Earth's crust, a woman has ever gone?
Well, and then we could also find out what's the greatest distance that two people have ever been apart, right? Because while the guys were on the moon, they were a really long way away. Simultaneously, there were probably some women down a hole somewhere, right?
But they would have been closer so you'd want to be on the opposite side to where they were on the moon.
Yeah.
If they were deep in the Earth, they'd actually be closer than the women who were outside on the crust.
Do you think that when...
Not the crust. What's the bit that we're on?
The crust.
The crust.
We're on the surface.
No, wait. No, is this the core?
No,
this is the core.
Because when I think of crust, it's at the bottom. You have a pastry crust. That's at the bottom of the dish.
But what about bread?
Yeah, and what about the part that you cut into at the top?
Yeah.
What do you call that?
The roof? Well, pie roof.
That's the top. I mean, that's not a...
That's the top. That's not crust.
Yeah.
That's just top.
If it was meringues, you wouldn't call it a meringue crust.
It's just an un...
No, but would you say base?
You call it the icing.
Icing?
If it was icing.
Sure, if it was icing, I'd call it icing. But I'd call it icing even if it was on the bottom piece.
No, I think I'd call it... No, isn't the part on the top blueberry filling?
Yes, sometimes.
Filling? You can't have filling on the top.
Yeah, for me, it's crust, then second bit of crust, then filling. Then I just have a fork laying on there.
Look. To be honest, we're all filling, you know, because the atmosphere is the crust. Really. Yeah. If the Earth is a pie, then the atmosphere is the crust and we're filling.
That's true.
But it's a very light,
very light, very kind of souffle, very soft, very melt in the mouth.
Like a meringue.
Yeah.
Like a sort of a pie filling, like a blueberry filling.
All right, I'm pitching this. Meringue-tang. You thought the orangutan was endangered.
Yeah.
Wait till you meet the meringutan.
So he's. I mean, is this like a? This feels like something that would happen in a dessert competition.
Yeah, it dissolves in the rain.
Yeah.
Forest.
Or is this an orangutan and a meringue both get into the teleporting machine
at the same time? That's what I was saying, Pete. Yes.
Reassembled at the other end as
Jeff Goldblum. As Jeff
Goldblum. First orangutan.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if when. People were separated in space. We had a man on the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if his wife was on Earth, she felt more lonely when the Earth was rotated away from him than when it was rotated back towards him?
Mm.
And could we measure that in some way? And use it to measure the distance between the Earth and the sun?
So I guess we could just get her to do sort of a survey twice a day.
Yeah, a survey. How lonely are you? Please rate it to like 18 decimal places.
Do you think it's related in any way to the orientation of the Earth?
I mean, that's a leading question.
I'm not a very ethical guy.
Do you think that after they put a dog in space, before they put, you know, men in space. Do you think they put an ant in space? Are they in somewhere in between a dog and a man?
No, Andy. No? I really think very highly of ants. Actually, more highly than I do of people who don't have brothers or sisters that have children.
That's true. Yeah.
Wait, what's the other word? Wood.
What kind? W-O-O-D?
Yeah, W-O-O-D.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Oh, did you think it was wood, W-O-U-L-D?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you?
In the context of the sentence, but I didn't realize he was fucking with us on every level.
Oh, no, he absolutely
was. But
we
should expect that from our listeners.
Yeah. Multi-level fucking.
Yeah.
So then when you heard aunts would like her.
I tried to create meaning, Alistair, from it, and I'm sorry, I was wrong. I can admit I was wrong.
Yeah, look, and I appreciate it, Andy. You've really grown a lot over the duration of this podcast.
This episode.
This episode and as well as the duration of our lives.
Oh, that's definitely true. Yeah.
You're a
as
big
you
boy.
Pass through this universe into the next one.
Into the hundreds of other ones.
Definitely made progress.
There's something about having Pete here that's made this episode much more interconnected. Everything's Sorry, connected to everything else. No, but I think what it is that what it's given, it gives people, well, there's three people here. Mm. It gives us a chance to think about anything other than the thing that we're about to say.
Yeah.
And we can get some perspective on life.
Yeah. You know, you're the connection that's really been missing from our lives.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just
anyway, we won't have you on for another 2 years.
Excellent. Wood.
Wood.
Comes from trees.
Okay, yeah. It grows out of the ground.
Mm. Mm.
Dogs pee on them.
Yeah.
People are trying to make artificial meat. Is anyone trying to make artificial wood?
Oh. That's interesting.
Especially if we could make artificial wood that you could eat.
That you could eat. Yes.
Out of meat.
Out of meat. You could eat it with your meat.
This is a recurring theme of the podcast, Pete, that we want to be able to eat wood, right? We want to be able to prepare it in such a way that it becomes edible.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we don't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really thin, I guess.
Yeah, thin shavings. I'd eat a shaving.
I know, but I don't want to eat a shaving.
How do you want to eat wood?
I want to eat like a stick, but that's been prepared correctly. No, it's just no one's prepared it correctly.
So they've prepared it correctly. You mean that they've sort of bushed it in such a way as to get out the poisonous bladder, which is actually the deadly part of the
stick. Yeah, or like, you know, like slow roasted it in Coca-Cola or something. Yeah.
Whatever you got to do, you know, maybe shoot it into space.
Not a chef.
This sounds like a great YouTube series.
How to eat wood.
How to eat wood. Like just every episode, the chef tries to use a different cooking method, explains that cooking method, and then shows how it could be used, you know, in other foods, and then applies it to wood.
Well, I'm very excited for the possibility of making wood out of fake meat. Is that what we're talking about?
We were making fake wood.
Fake wood.
Yeah, sure. like artificial wood in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
But, which you could do. You know, you saw these Impossible Burgers, right? You've seen these Impossible Burgers.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. They've made vet plant matter look like blood.
Well, it's like it for the same reasons. Well, no, maybe not for the same reasons. But let's say people had a moral objection to cutting down trees. Which is how you get wood.
Mm.
So why don't we try and find a way so we don't have to destroy these wonderful creatures?
Well, look, I mean, it's a way off in the future. But once we, A, recognize that plants have souls, and B, discover that you can eat wood, there's going to be a market for ethically grown wood in a lab.
Made from meat.
Made from meat, sure.
Meat that we've grown in a lab also.
Nah, we got that from a cow. So we'll be able to finally eat wood with a clear conscience.
Mm.
Yeah. So is this what we're doing for this sketch idea?
I don't know.
What have we got? We got ants, wood, luckier. Do we have to
Leica?
Sorry,
we don't have to use all of them.
We don't have to use all of them.
No, we don't have to use any of them. We just have to be inspired by them, or near them, or after them.
I think of like ants is like plural, like there's a team of ants.
That's true. Like
they're not necessarily siblings, but
that's true. They could just
have convention siblings with children.
Do you think that maybe there could be an ants space program?
Mm.
You know, because at the moment everyone wants to get their space program off the ground, right? Yep. Not only have we got the European Space Agency, the Australian Space Agency now, we've heard people talking about our need to get one up and running. Mm-hmm. We've also got corporations. We've got, your Teslas, your Richard Bransons, right?
Well, that one in New Zealand.
Why can't ants get one?
That's true. And it's a kind of a subculture.
The Global Coalition of Ants.
The GCA. Don't you know about the GCA? They're one of the biggest political groups in the world.
I mean, just think about their organization, the resources that they would have, pulling all those together, just all the know-how that they would have between them.
Yeah.
It's definitely put a dog into space.
I mean, if they know as much about space as they do about what your sisters have been up to, it's a lot, Pete.
My aunt's comment, she always seems very informed about what's been going on, which makes me think that she'll know a lot about what's been going on in space.
She might not have know-how, but she certainly has know-who. who's been in a relationship recently.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been writing thank yous to their Christmas cards?
Wait, so it's a rocket powered by gossip?
Yeah. Red hot gossip.
Gossip
Red
rocket.
Hot piping gossip rocket.
That sounds like a B-52 song.
Yeah, gossip rocket. Climb
gossip
aboard
rocket.
My gossip rocket.
Get your jukebox money. Look, I'm just going to write...
Aunt Space Agency.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them all getting together at the ASA, right?
And in a big, like, Doctor Strangelove kind of circular war room.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I represent the aunts of North America.
Hmm. You know? Like a United Nations of aunts.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you could almost... It's like the A-U-N-T.
Wait. It's A, United Nations...
T, so it's like
team.
The Aunts United Nations...
Team.
Team, or, you know, or...
Aunts United Nations team, or aunt... Space. Team Space.
Yeah.
Aren't United Nations Team Space.
Yeah.
They're
right.
Beginning to sound like a James Bond secret society now.
Which they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that in the new James Bond movie, Idris Elba will be playing aunts.
James Bond's aunts.
Aunts. James Bond's aunts. Oh,
it would be like a kind of nutty, like not Nutty Professor, but
Nutty Professor,
like the clumps. It'll be like the clumps, but it'll be James Bond's aunts. They're all played by Idris Elba.
I mean,
he's playing like six aunts.
We should
and
make
some
this
from,
happen.
From both sides of his family, like his maternal aunts and his paternal aunts.
And his fraternal aunts.
And his, what's...
and his internal aunts.
Mm.
And his nocturnal aunts.
Mm.
And his nocturnal aunts.
Yeah, those ones as well.
All right, I'm just going to run us through the...
Guys, bad news. The microphones haven't been recording.
Is that for real?
No, that's not true.
Oh, my God.
It was a prank.
It was a really good prank, Andy, that I laughed a lot about. Okay, here's a sketch idea. When the idea of film began, they made it seem like they'd made heaps of films by making short trailers.
You gotta I mean, dress for success.
Absolutely. You
know?
You got to make it seem, especially when film's just starting.
Yeah.
People are raving about audio at that time. People were just raving about, you know, radio plays and sort of vaudeville.
So wait, these are radio plays to
the early 2000s?
Film?
No.
How are they promoting it if no one knows what film is?
Well, they're
using film?
They're making one or two films a year.
They're making one or two films a year, but they're making lots and lots of show reels that they can make it seem like they've been making loads of films. And
we really know what we're doing.
And people who were showing up to cinemas just to listen to radio plays, they would then project something onto the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the idea of projecting something on the wall seems like something you would only do if you were crazily unprepared.
Just look at the wall for a while while we get something sorted out.
Yeah, and I'll just get some lights projecting on there, and maybe we'll get some shadow puppets or something like that. You know. Then we got... 20 to 1 of the Mandela effect. I think that's going to be a great sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That nostril bit, Alistair, really kicked it into gear.
And then at the end, what was it? Something
they're just basically sort of hovering blobs.
Yeah, but there was something where it's like I can't remember. There was something where there was no TV or something.
Oh, they all remembered the
TV didn't exist.
TV didn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And then at the end, yeah.
That's how you don't hear on TVs anymore. I'm Reynold G. Moore. I don't know his name. Artistic Prime Minister is the next.
You don't know any names. G. Moore. Reynold. Sorry, I'm not good with names. Just any names. I can't
you're
even...
trying to come up with a name really fast when you're deep in a bit.
I know. Yeah, if I had to think from scratch, I have to come up with a concept of names
from scratch.
If I have to think of a name that's never existed before, it's hard.
No, but you're
real G-ball.
I had a criteria. I had to have a like. It had to sound like a guy who was at the helm of 60 Minutes for years and
Alistair,
years and years.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. If I tuned into 60 Minutes tomorrow, and I saw it was presented by Reynolds G-ball, I wouldn't bet an eyelid.
Good question.
No, oh,
we've shifted. Like,
everything is as it should be. Reynolds G-ball is at the helm of 60 Minutes.
Well, nothing seems to be out of hand here. Okay, I got Artistic Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. Then we got Plato's Cave, which is just this shop that we got on the side of the highway.
Come on down to Plato's Cave.
We got shadow puppets. We got, we'll sell you wood stoves. We'll sell you chains. come get locked up. Come get locked up. It could be like a, you could rent it out as a sex, you know, group sex dungeon. Sometimes, you know, like you gotta cater. You gotta cater.
Well, and
catering.
You gotta diversify as well, right?
Diversify.
You can't just chain people down there looking at shadows on the wall all day.
You can't expect that you're gonna get all of that clientele just based on people's love of Plato.
I tell you what, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, Plato's Cave.
Yeah, it's Plato's Cave.
I tell you what, a great thing about chaining people up is that you don't have to worry about return business, though. I mean, that's taken care of. They never leave.
No.
That's the one kind of business that's even better than return business.
It's stay business.
Stay business.
Locked up. Then we got Skyfall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My favorite James Bond film.
Yeah. And then it's actually only one letter off.
Yeah. That was a working title.
Oh, the working title of Skyfall.
Stored in the stone. That's really what they're doing with carbon sequestration at the moment,
they
isn't it?
They store it in the stone.
Yeah.
Oh, probably just stored in the dirt.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, this is stored in the sky.
In the crust.
Shadow puppetry acclaim. This is kind of the guy from...
Which is really Plato's. The atmosphere is really
yeah,
the crust.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which is what this is.
Which is what we're doing, yeah.
Yeah.
Shadow puppetry acclaim. That's really the guy who started Plato's Cave, but then he got so much acclaim that he found other ways to even get more acclaim. He got a shop front, so he's right at, like, you know... Where there's a lot of like people walking by. It was basically this is after Apple collapsed, and he's using a lot of those kind of glass front buildings.
Yeah.
You know, where so he can get the cinema goers to come and watch his shadow puppetry where he's blowing out the screen.
So this is after Apple, the world's biggest company with the world's largest cash reserves, has collapsed.
Yeah.
On the Nepean Highway.
No, he's gone into the major cities now.
Oh, yeah. So
that's why he's broken off from Plato's
Try and keep up, Pete. He's no longer on the Nepean Highway.
So Apple's flagship store in New York, which is on Broadway, or I can't remember.
First and Central.
First and Central.
Yeah, or the one in Sydney, you know, that one.
It's gone under, and so it's selling for cheap.
Yeah, and he gets it, and he starts doing shadow puppetry, and he's releasing spiders and poisoning people's foods and things like that. So they're rolling in the eyes and slouching and slapping their thighs and things like that. And he's doing other horrible things to them, and they love it.
Yeah.
He's got no return business, but he's got endless first-time business.
That's right, because that's the only kind of business that's better than return customers.
Yeah, it's just endless.
Endless first-time customers.
So it's pretty much business as normal in the Apple store.
Hey. No, I think that's the opposite. No, Pete, that doesn't,
that doesn't work for Andy.
No.
Then we got Harvey Keitel phone company mail service.
This is good.
I know, I think it's right. And
I think it's an idea that could work. Maybe not as in at a big scale, but you could definitely at least do it once.
Once, yes. And if there's one kind of business that's better than... it's just doing it once business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got the Ant Space Agency, and I'm not sure 100% if it is related to James Bond and his aunts. But... Anyway, we've got an Ant-based space agency and UN.
Well, actually, we've seen James Bond get married, right? And we saw reference to his parents in Skyfall.
Yes. And we don't actually know who his parents are.
Else is there to explore his aunts.
Yes.
James Bond's aunts.
Mm.
In a lot of ways, M was an aunt.
Yeah, she kind of came up. She was very aunt. Aunt
That's like, what M aunt. M stood for.
Auntie.
Yeah.
Aunt.
Mom-ty. She was actually a Royal Canadian Mom-ty police. Which is a major auntie.
Oh, that's it, Alistair. We now can't release this episode.
Oh, it's a shame.
Just quickly, Alistair, which sketches do you think ants would like?
Well, I think that they might think that we're talking about an ant space agency.
Which they would love.
They would love that. Imagine that. Like, because they're always looking for new places where they can build their nests.
Yeah, they colonize. They literally make colonies.
They would be great. Send them to Mars.
Mars, to make it habitable for us.
They weigh a lot less, so you'd have smaller rockets.
That's actually a genuinely good idea.
You could fit more ants onto a normal person-sized rocket.
Those fire ants that seem to be able to survive anything, I'd just like to see them have a go at...
Let's send them up there. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, just see. Yeah. Just see. I reckon they could do something with it, Mars. Red ants, they're fire. The red planet, they're fire ants. It feels like it's a good fit.
They cling together and make structures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it that fire ants do that would be beneficial to us on Mars?
Well, I mean...
They make it... Well, it's already uninhabitable to us.
So it can't be worse.
It can't be worse.
Well, I mean, we could make it a bit worse. This is for the people who are trying to stop people from going to Mars.
Great. This is the problem with Mars.
It's too tempting.
Exactly. It's not uninhabitable enough.
Right? It's not Venus. That's for sure.
Yeah, not Pluto.
I think the reason we don't respect Earth enough is because we always feel like we've got a backup planet in Mars. Mm. Right? If Mars, which is a bit worse, maybe we'd take protecting Earth a little bit more seriously. So let's send some fire ants up to Mars.
Take Mars off the table.
It's off the table. That's not an option anymore. It's now we've got to get serious about this current relationship we're in.
Because then if we're going to go to Mars, the first fleet's going to have to be like exterminators.
Yeah, clean up all those ants.
Yeah. And that seems like a pain in the ass.
And it's their home turf now. They know their way around.
Mm. And we're sure that they're not already there.
That could be why it's red.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. Yeah. Mm. We do have a robot there. Is that an ant? Anyway.
It's a lot like an ant. It's more like an ant than it is like a man.
Also, I think...
Or an ant.
I mean, I didn't write this down, but I think the ants would like that edible wood. Because they already love wood.
They already eat it.
But now they'll be able to eat it guilt-free because it's made in a lab.
Yeah, and made it out of artificial meat.
Which they also love.
I actually genuinely enjoyed that song.
Oh.
Anyway.
You've never said that before.
I've never meant it. No, I have enjoyed many of them before. I think usually we laugh instead of enjoy. Genuinely.
I thought we were fading out.
That was a good system, but we go. Oh, we're on Twitter. You can get us at Two in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm not on Twitter,
but you're on Instagram at
Peter Thomas.
PEADER
THOMAS.
Yeah,
and you can see all his posters and things that he's done for us and for other people.
And I presume you've done other stuff as well, than make posters for us.
If you want to see the logo for Two in the Think Tank but don't want to listen to the show, that's where you can go.
.com. PeterThomas.com as well.
Yeah. And we are going to get T-shirts going.
Very soon. They're coming soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete.
That's all right.
But you have a website as well. It's got lots of good stuff on it as well.
PeterThomas.com. PEADER.
Is there any way people can just give you money?
Not currently, unless it's in person.
Do you want to give away your bank details?
No.
Okay.
Not right now.
If you want Pete's bank details, you have to pay for them.
What you have to do is you have to record a message, and that message will be turned into a letter.
Money.
Yeah.
Which will be then mailed to the bank, and then they will take care of the rest.
I'd love to have a phone service where you can just call up, tell them an idea, and they'll just give you some money if it's a good idea. You know?
Yeah, I would like that.
Cash for ideas.
Yeah. I mean, some of our ideas have got to be good.
Cash for comment.
Yeah. Anyway, cash for concept.
Cash for concept. That's good.
And we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.